Ladies and gentlemen, and especially ISI employees at the front table. Ladies and gentlemen. Yes, it's working. Can you hear me? Ron Robertson in the back of the room, can you hear this? Good. It works? This better? All right, everybody, hello. We're still serving some coffee, but I think prudence dictates we rush in where angels fear to tread. John Wilson was complaining last night that he had to follow Stan Evans. You can imagine how Jim Taylor and I feel sharing the podium with Thomas Jefferson. Now, Ronald Reagan, who was our oldest president, used to joke about having known Jefferson personally. At least I thought it was a joke until I heard that Hillary really did know Eleanor Roosevelt. So I was going through a receiving line in Washington, and I had the occasion to ask Mrs. Clinton what was so special about Eleanor Roosevelt. Of all the first ladies, why she chose Eleanor Roosevelt to talk to. And Mrs. Clinton said, well, think about it. Eleanor Roosevelt was our only first lady who could eat corn on the cob through a tennis racket. I expected this reaction. And I want to assure you, quiet down, that unruly libertarians in the audience. I want you to know that story is every bit as true as the story Stan Evans was telling last night. Our topic this evening is the founders and the rising generation. And Stan and Bill Campbell told me that the inspiration for this particular session was the fact that when they were recruiting the very best people they could for the panels for this important consideration of the founding, most of them turned out to be ISI Weaver Fellows or Salvatore Fellows, which raises the question of the mediating institutions and their role in bringing the historical consciousness forward to the new generation. So Stan asked Jim Taylor and myself to say a few words from the perspective of ISI and from the Young Americas Foundation. It's now my pleasure to introduce the executive director of the Young Americas Foundation, who is an old friend. I knew Jim Taylor when he was an undergraduate at Swarthmore and the principal conservative at Swarthmore. In fact, he was probably the only conservative at Swarthmore. We were program officers at ISI, and I know a number of embarrassing stories about Jim from those days, but he knows an equal number of embarrassing stories about me. So I'm going to stay my hand and be discreet and just tell you a mild story about the time that Jim Taylor and I went to the airport to pick up Eric Vogelin, who was coming to the East Coast for one of his very rare speeches. And Vogelin was a prickly fellow at his best, and he had taken an earlier flight than the one he told us about. So by the time we picked him up, he was mad. He said we should have been there much earlier, even though he never told us there was an earlier flight. So we got him in the car, and Jim was driving, and there was another of our colleagues in the front seat with Jim. And I was in the back seat with Vogelin. By this time, Vogelin is a great mood, and he's telling jokes in a thick Prussian accent that I couldn't understand a word of it. So he's telling these jokes, and then he stops talking. And I should be laughing, but I don't know the punchline. But in the front seat, Jim is hysterical. Jim is shaking with laughter. And so this goes on, several jokes. So we get Vogelin to the hotel, and I asked Jim, I said, Jim, I said, I couldn't understand a word that Vogelin was saying. Why were you shaking with laughter? He says, I couldn't understand him either. But every time he stopped talking, I just shook my shoulders like this. This works. But our problems with Vogelin weren't over, because one of our hidden agenda items was to sign him up to speak to a big alumni conference of ISI down in Texas, which he would not normally do, but they were specially requesting it because of his tenure at LSU. Everybody knew him down there. And so we approached it gingerly and said, now, Mr. Vogelin, said, we would love it if you could speak to us on something you're currently working on to our alumni chapter in Texas. They're doctors and lawyers and businessmen. So the title should be somewhat popular so that we can draw a crowd. But if you're willing to do it, he said, this is possible. He says, I will speak on the global ecumene. I said, well, now that's a fine topic. But do you think we could change the title to attract more of an audience of these people who are not, after all, academics? He says, very well. We will call it the Worldwide Ecumene. All of this by way of saying that Jim Taylor is one of the most principled, steadfast, and effective conservatives in our movement. Speaking as a trustee of the Young Americans Foundation, and I joined the board so long ago I can't remember when it was. We are very fortunate to have had Jim's services these many years, and it is my pleasure to introduce James B. Taylor.